Thanks for tuning into the ES First podcast. We'd love to connect with you on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. So take a minute to hop on over and give us a like or a follow. And of course, if you're ever in Excelsior Springs, stop on by. We can't wait to welcome you home.
Hello, everybody. Everybody happy? Say hello. Hey, right. You sound like a good, happy bunch today. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord, and once again, to be able to worship, and what a great worship set we've already had, and good, nice introduction for Nancy Joe and our giving, and I'm going to preach to you this morning. How many of you like to hear some good preaching? All right. We're preaching out of the book of Mark, and Mark is all about the words of Jesus. How many of you know it's important to understand how Jesus thinks? And so Brandon and I are getting ready. We're working on a series of messages, and coming out of Mark chapter 10 is where we're at. But I have to lay another foundation. How many of you want to hear the tough stuff today, or you don't want to hear your ears tickle? How many want your ears tickled? Just take it real easy with Super Bowl Sunday. All right, how many of you want the real hard stuff where smack them in the chin, step on your toes, and all that good stuff? Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. If that's what you want this morning, I want you to stand up. Come on, give somebody a high five by three people around you. Say, come on, it's feeding time. I'm here to get something that's going to make a change in my life. All right. Oh, give him a hug. Give him a squeeze. Hug and a squeeze. Kiss on the cheek. Do anything you want. Just let him know. It's Sunday morning in the house of the Lord. Oh, boy. All right. All right. I was going to tell you today that I'm the burning bush. And the Holy Spirit's the fire that's going to talk to you. And you're standing on holy ground on this sermon this morning. And if we can ever get to it. And I was going to tell you, if you really want to soak in some of the real good, straight Holy Spirit Word of God from the bush this morning, then I want you to just reach down, slip off your shoes. Because you're standing on holy ground. And I'm going to leave mine on because my feet will hurt so bad after walking all around, I won't be able to move. Or you can just kind of in your head imaginatively take your shoes off because you're on holy ground. I got some foundational word for you today. If you want to take your shoes off, you ready? Go right ahead. Do we have any smelling salts? I want to, first of all, read to you what Brandon preached to us last week, if you throw that up there on the screen for me. Brandon last week told us the cross was a transaction that paid for sin, right? But when Jesus rose from the dead, he empowered all of humanity to live a new life. That's what the cross is all about, empowering us to live a new life. When he sat at the right hand of the Father's throne, he was given authority over all things and sent the Holy Spirit that we could be empowered to live like him. Sound like a good plan? Hello, don't fall asleep yet just because you got your shoes off. All right, so I'm going to talk to you turn with me in Matthew and chapter 6, I believe it is, verse number 16. From the English Standard Version, I have a ton of scripture today. If you have a version of the Bible on your phone, you can pull up the English translation of the version of the Bible. But I'm going to give you an awful lot of scripture today. And the subject that I want to talk about is fasting. How many of you did fasting this year? Raise your hand, hold it up high. If you did fasting, all right, fasting, then what? That's the title of my sermon today. Fasting, then what? Where do we go from there? Verse number 16 says this: when you fast, don't look gloomy like the hypocrites. For they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees you in secret will reward you. Now, your Christian life is like building a house. The Bible refers it in that particular way. And so fasting is just an intense relationship with Jesus. It's just an intense relationship where you have decided to have conversation with God, the throne of God, that you're serious about it, that you're going to kind of step out of the normal daily living, and you're going to get real anointed, and you're going to get real spiritual, you're going to spend a lot of time with the Lord. Well, that is just like building a house, and that portion of your spiritual life, fasting and praying and talking to the Lord and communicating with Him, confessing your sins, asking Him for direction, all those things, is like in choosing a piece of property for you to build your house on. I mean, a location, location, location is everything, right? Wrong. How many of you are happy? Sounds like maybe you're not happy with your location. I'm really happy with mine. I'd almost rather be in my home than I would be on vacation somewhere, because I'm happy with my property. I'm happy with where I live. I like it. See what I'm saying? And so that's what fasting and talking to the Lord and setting aside your life to speak to the Lord and be acquainted with Him, come unto the Lord and cast your care on Him and confess your sins and all this kind of stuff. You have a great relationship with the Lord. And building a house is like choosing a property to build on. Now that you have got a property to build on, it's time now for you to do something else, and that's to have a foundation for your spiritual life to be built on. I wrote on, I don't know if I said it, because I don't remember that well. I don't remember if I read it somewhere, but I wrote on my Facebook and I said, better to have fasted and starved than never to have fasted at all. I mean, that's true. And so now we're going to move into growing in the Lord. We're going to talk about this next passage of Scripture for a long ways. Talks about maturing. It talks about building a foundation in God. And have you ever seen a pile driver that does boom, 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 driving these great big beams down into the ground, which to build then a foundation around upon? Do you know what I'm talking about? Boom, boom. Well, that's what we need to be in the process of, first of all, before we can build a structure on our Christian walk. We have to establish a firm foundation. Now, I've never really preached this sermon in this light. In fact, I worked quite a number of days on my sermon for this Sunday, and in the middle of the night, the Lord woke me up and says, "You forgot one scripture." And he gave me the scripture, and I got up, and I said, how in the world did I forget that? I'm preaching on this series of sermons on the kingdom of God. How did I forget that? So I got up early this morning and totally rewrote the sermon, because you don't want to leave this out. Because I can't tell you after, oh boy, I'm almost afraid to say this, over 60 years of preaching and teaching and pastoring, so many Christians overlook this subject. And they do fasting, they have a relationship, talking with God, they confess their sins, they got a communication going here, and then they skip building a foundation to build the structure of their spiritual life on. And you can truly recognize people who skipped the foundation process. And you can truly recognize people who focus on the foundation process. Boom, boom, boom. And build so that God can build something on it. And so what, after fasting, after getting acquainted with God, then what? And so the scripture goes on, and this is what it says, and it's going to talk about a lot about this. I want to warn you that these scriptures that I'm going to read today to you are all in red. They're all in red. So they're quotes from Jesus on how a Christian is to have a foundation, and this is the foundation. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Any idea what he might be talking about? What do you think he's talking about here? Silence? No, that's not it. What do you think he's talking about? Fasting and then what? Money. Okay. I'm glad you're here, Johnny. You might have to take over. Brandon's day off of preaching. Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Boom. Boom. Where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The theological doctrine of finances. Understanding the theological doctrine of finances is foundational in your Christian walk. You'll never go any further in God until you get this down. You may think you're growing in the Lord, but you won't. You may think you can possess all of the fullness of the kingdom of God, but you don't. If you try to build your spiritual life without foundations, and this is your foundation, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Understand the doctrine of finances. Now, our church sings a song, we go from glory to glory to never be the same. Bible says that whoever comes into the grace and the knowledge of Christ, we move from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. Hello. That's what this song is. You take us higher and higher and higher. We're forever changed. So first of all, we have a relationship with God. He talks about that in the realm of fasting as an extreme. And then he says the foundation is the doctrine of finances. In a short version, you understand if you're going to move anywhere past, if you're going to go forward, if you're going to go from glory to glory, if you're going to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, if you're going to become a mature child of God, if you're going to be anointed of the Holy Spirit to use your gifts and ministries to help someone else, hello, you might go on the mission field, but if you go without a foundation, you're just sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. So what is the version? The short version is this. Tithe, 10%, is holy unto the Lord. Don't use it for anything else. Don't touch it. Take it to the house of the Lord on the first day of the week. Hello. And that is step number one to understanding that all your finances belong to the Lord. 100%. That's where he's going with this. Nobody is a day late and a dollar short. They're just misinvested, stewardship deficient. Let me say that again. Nobody is a day late and a dollar short. They're just misinvested, stewardship deficient. They put their time and their money in a bag with holes in it, the Bible says. I talked to a guy on the phone the other day at work, and he says, "You know what I'm doing?" I said, "No, what are you doing?" He says, "Well, I've sewed up the holes in my bag, and now I'm just putting more money in it." There are two categories of people when it comes to finances, laying up yourself treasures, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. There are two kinds of people when it comes to theological understanding of the doctrine of finances according to the Word of God. When it comes to tithing, when it comes to giving, there are two types of people. There are those who refuse to do it God's way, and includes those who are not willing to properly calculate percentages. There's two types of people in this category. They won't do it at all. And then there's a type who claim to be tithers who refuse to calculate percentages properly. Somebody say amen. God, it's comfortable up here. You messed this platform up. It's too much anointing up here. So what do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, 6% is not 10%. 3% is not 10%. That's a stipend. And then there's those that are willing to follow the doctrine of finances, and they find themselves, after learning and being willing to follow the doctrine, the theological doctrine of finances, after living a life like that. Tax time, when you look at all your paperwork and say, "Well, I made X number of dollars." And then you ask yourself this question: did I give God 10% of what I made this year, or did I rip him off? I got to get that straight. That's one thing I taught my family years ago. You get your tax returns all figured up and you get ready to get your money back and all this kind of stuff, or pay, whatever you're going to do, ask yourselves the true question: have I built my spiritual foundations correctly? Or am I still baby-stepping in the kingdom of God? Okay? I'm glad this is in red. Now, look at verse number 22. Because honestly, in a lifetime of pastoring, and I've pastored all my life, I was born in Bible college. I lived right across the street from the Bible college my mother and dad were in. I was born in Bible college. I was later dedicated in that church where my mother and father went to Bible college, right in that chapel there. Later, I received my doctorate degree in that chapel. I received a commission there to go in all the world and preach the gospel, missions commission there, right in that building. Tremendous, tremendous, tremendous. But in all my years, I see a lot of people who are not willing to look at this subject. through the eyes of the Spirit. Now, I want to warn you that this next scripture is pretty tricky right here. Because if you're not willing to focus in on the theological doctrine of finances, your eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. If you're willing to look at this subject, your eye is the lamp of the body, and if your eye is healthy, if you understand the theological doctrine of finances, and you look at the Word of God, and rightly dividing the Word of God, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, what's he talking about? Laying up treasures in heaven? What's he talking about? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What's he talking about? Building your spiritual foundation. If your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. That's what he's talking about. And then he goes on and he says this, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. What does that say? Your spiritual walk is really kind of null and void if you're not willing to look at the theological definition of the finances, the doctrine of finances. I won't do it. I am not willing to apply proper principles of percentages, or I'll don't jump in the water to swim in. I'll go above and beyond. Hello. I'll look at the principle of finances God's way, and you can count me in. All right. Man. Verse 25. We go from choosing a property, we go to building foundations of Christian living, which is get you properly aligned with God's principles of finance. And then we see verse 25 talks about Christian practicum. I've called it Christian practicum. A course of study, especially for the preparation of teachers and clinicians, that involves the supervised practical application of studied theory. The supervised practical application of studied theory. Your finances are supervised. You're just the manager. The keeper of the funds is your supervisor. And Christian practicum involves people who are supervised and are willing to have practical application to a studied theory. And it's like this, talking about money, verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, don't be anxious about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor about your body, but what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they are? For which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like unto these. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O little of faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. And then he says, I'm going to paraphrase it and then I'll read it to you because this is a scripture he gave me in the middle of the night. He said, don't forget this one. All those things are important. What you wear, what you eat, what you drink, where you go, your vacations, your good times, your house, your blessings, all those things are important. But you don't think of them first, you think of them second. People who don't think of those things first, but think of them second, give 10% to the Lord without ever thinking for 1 minute, how can I afford this? I'll have to go without that. I can't pay this. Well, we won't get to do that, but I need the money for this. People who are building their foundations on the theological doctrine of finances, they don't think about these things first. They don't even cross the mind of a tither. A person who understands the theological doctrines of finances would never, under any circumstance, consider stealing from God to buy a new pair of socks or a hot dog. Is that important? Oh, yes. You must eat hot dogs. And then this is the scripture. And we're going to be preaching a lot about the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Yeah, it's going to cost me. I don't know if I can afford that. Well, I've been given 3% all my life. Well, I don't do that. I'm a stipend giver. You can bet one thing for sure. Every time they raise funds to do something big, I throw $100 in. But week after week after week, you got to understand I'm a project giver. Oh, really? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Therefore, don't be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Anybody got your shoes back on? Don't you want this fired up bush? You got them back on? The purpose of the fast is to crucify the flesh. How many of you found that out? The purpose of the fast is to crucify the flesh, especially if you stuck to it the whole time and finished up the same way you started. Or maybe you was like me, you started one way and thought you was going to die in the middle of it and started another way. That's what I did. But I did fasting all the way through. The purpose of the fast is to crucify the flesh. Well, bingo, it sure did it. Now, the cross is the vehicle on which crucifixion is implemented, the device used in the performance of a task. The cross is the vehicle on which crucifixion is implemented. Crucifying the flesh. Matthew 16:24, Jesus said to disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. And then let him follow me. Why does he want you to take up your cross? Because you need to be in the process of crucifying stuff. Crucifying the flesh. Why? Well, in finances, it's so that you can crucify the flesh who does not want to operate according to the theological definition of finances. Flesh don't want to do that. Going through the fast, your flesh don't want to not eat goodies or anything. Jesus said, if any man is going to come after me, you're going to be carrying a cross. And why are you carrying that cross? It's because you're going to have to be in the process of the crucifixion process of the flesh and things that does so easily beset you so that you can run with patience the race that is set before you, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, the suffering, so that being many saints under redemption. You mean I got to sacrifice? Yep, sure do. So phase two of crucifying the flesh is the doctrine of theological finances. And Paul said it in the best words that anybody could say it, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I am crucified with Christ. Oh. The problem with so many baby Christians in the world that they can't lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover. The problem with so many people that it's easier to take a little pill than to trust God for the healing. It's easier to go to a psychologist to take a handful of crap that'll make you dizzy and curl up in a ball than it is to crucify the flesh so that you can be more than a conqueror through Christ. Say, why doesn't God answer my prayers? Because you got no foundation. Why am I not getting anywhere? You got no foundation. Why is it my kids are like, you gotta have foundation. And until you build a foundation, you cannot go to step three. You can't build a structure without boom, boom, boom. And what is the foundation? It's your finances. It all belongs to God, and you've been given stewardship. And nobody's a day late and a dollar short. They're just stewardship misled. You think the devil likes that? He sure does. Because if you're still screwing around, messing around with no foundations, the devil can look you right in the eye and say, see, God don't love you. See, God ain't doing nothing for you. See, God ain't taking you through the valleys. See, when you get in a mess, you're on your own. God isn't doing nothing for you. Look how you feel. Look, you're depressed. Look, you're sick. Look, you're a day late and a dollar short. The pastor says nobody is. They're just misguided stewardship. Hello. What are we talking about today? We're talking about money. Where your treasure is, there's where your heart is. There you go. The doctrine of finances. There's four areas of the doctrine of finances. I'm not going to go into them today. I just slam them at your face once in a while. Here they are. Number one's a tithe. That's 10%. You either will or you won't, or you'll miscalculate percentages. The other is offerings. We got people in this church that's calling me up on the phone, sending me texts, all kinds of stuff. Say, guess what I'm doing? What are you doing? Well, I'm going to do 20% this year, not 10. Well, my goal this year is to give that much money every month. Really? You don't hardly make enough to do that, do you? No. But I got the 10 down, and now I'm going to go to offerings. So God's theological process of finances is tithe, and then it's offerings added to the 10%. So you don't give an offering until, first of all, you've completed the tithe. Oh, I give offerings every Sunday. Not if you haven't given 10% of your income, you haven't. You haven't given any offerings yet. You're still just chipping away at partial tithing. Hello? And then there's the third category, which I'm not preaching on these, is alms. The Bible says do that in secret. In other words, if somebody needs a blessing, you hand them a $100 bill, pat them on the back, say, you know, and they go home and cry. Say, oh, God, you did it for me again. Thank you, Jesus. Hello, that's alms, that's giving. And then there's missions, four areas, four categories you need to develop well in your life. So you become a source of financial influence. And you understand and function in the flow of money. See, when you get the theological doctrine of finances in order, you become a conduit for money to flow through, to come your direction, and it goes their direction. You're the conduit that it flows through. You understand and function in flow money. It comes in and it goes out, blessed in the basket, blessed in the store. And then you realize it all belongs to God. You're the manager. And so you listen, you learn, and you become. And when you listen and you learn and you become, it sets you up to be categorized in the deciding status. You obey the 10%, and then that qualifies you to manage the other 90% and put you in the decision-making status. Now what am I going to give to? Now who am I going to bless? Now how can I give so that it be giving back unto me? Now how can I reap the rewards? Now how can I get the percentage back 100-fold? Now how can I be so blessed in my coming in and going out, and my rising up and my setting down? Now it puts you in a deciding-making status because God can trust you. And that qualifies you for him to appropriate all his blessings to you. We're in context. We're going to go to chapter 7, verse number 1. So now in context, judge not, neither that you be judged. Chapter 7 and verse 1. For with the judgment you pronounce, you'll be judgment. What's he talking about? Money. What's he talking about? Mind your own stinking business. Why are you worrying about the freeloader, thinking you're doing more than the freeloader? Why are you upset with somebody that gives nothing when you give all? Don't judge. In your giving, so who's able to give? Don't look at brother so-and-so who's able to give and give and give and give and give and say, boy, if I can't give $1,000 in that, I guess I better give nothing. Don't judge what everybody else is doing financially. This is a thing between you and your Lord. He's the architect. You're the foundation builder. Boom. Thank you. And with the measure you use, it'll be measured to you. What's he talking? He's talking about finances. The measure you use is the measure he's going to give back to you. Don't be judging what everybody else is giving. You know? Why do you see the speck that's in your brother's eye, but you don't notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there's a log in your own eye, you hypocrite? first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will be seen clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. What does that mean? Understand the theological doctrine of finances and get with it. Today. Start building your finances and your foundations today. Oh boy, I like this next one. These are letter in red, Brandon. Don't give dogs what's holy. And don't throw your pearls before pigs. Now you understand how deep that conversation is? What's holy? The tithe. Don't use it for everything under the sun. Oh, I bought cable television with that one. Yeah, you just threw that which is holy to the dogs. Oh, you don't understand. If I don't have that $2,000 cell phone, by goodness. Okay, cast your pearls before swine. He's talking about money. How much swine throwing are you involved in? How much pearl casting are you throwing down the tubes? How much, Brandon would say, crap are you spending God's holy money on? Did you know the 10% is as holy as the baby Jesus was in the manger? Can you imagine the shepherds and the wise men coming to that which is holy in the manger and taking Jesus out and using him as a soccer ball? Think about that. You're misusing that which is holy. So that don't apply to me. Oh, yeah, it does. It applies to every person in this building. If you call yourself a child of God, the theological doctrine of finances belongs in your head and in your heart and in your pocketbook. Because look it, you give to the dogs that which is holy and you throw pearls before the pigs, guess what? They're going to trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. Hello, this is Capital Finances. Yeah, I'm the pig you cast the pearl before. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm the swine you gave it to. Yeah, I'm the dog that you took that which is holy and bought a whole bunch of junk. Guess what? I'm after your B-U-T-T. Got you so messed up, you can't even pick up the phone and answer it. Because they're attacking you. No, the way of the world has always been like it is today. It hasn't changed a bit. The difference is the church that has lost its vision. The holy handlers that's casting them to dogs and their pearls before the swine. It's people that walk in a beautiful dress and they say, look at me. Put me on the front row. I have ring. I have but I'm cheaper than a skunk. I give nothing to God. I am a goose egger. Did you say goose egger, Pastor? Uh-huh. You're trying to be a spiritual leader without any leading. You're trying to be a parent that's supposed to be training up a child in the way he go so that when he's old, he won't depart from it. And all you're doing is teaching your children to cast pearls before swine. Because after all, if you don't have a $250 pair of sneakers for sports this year, you're going to be looked down on. Remember my text today, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Bright red and white, yellow, green tennis shoes won't be a problem after that. You won't have to wonder where your next box of golf balls are coming from. You'll be the head and not the tail. You'll be blessed in your coming in, you're going out. In other words, set the example, lead, don't follow. Give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give to your bosom. So we're still talking about finances, and now we got all this straight. Ask and it shall be given unto you. whatever it is. Seek and you'll find. Knock, he's talking about money. Knock and it'll be opened unto you. Everyone who asks receives. One who seeks finds. One who knocks it'll be opened. Which one of you, if a son asks of bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, would give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, that's me, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who's in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So whatever you wish that others will do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. You have learned the physiological definition, practice, ministry of finances. Have you ever stopped long enough to wonder what is going to be on the Jesus list? You know, the one with your name on it. Just prior to him declaring to you, "Welcome into the joy of the Lord, thou good and faithful servant." What's going to be on that list that he's going to peruse before he proclaims a blessing for eternity over you? According to the scriptures, fasting and relationship with God is one. According to scriptures, right after that, what's happened after fasting is finances. There's a notable difference between those who practice God's doctrine of finances and those who do not. There's a notable difference in the children of those who do and those who don't. I can't put a number on it, but I'm going to have to say very, 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 that's what, very, very, that's four varies. May I say almost never do I see the children of a parent who did not train a child in the way he should go, but trained him in the way he should not go, casting pearls and throwing stuff to dogs. That's holy. Almost never do I see the children of that offspring of the false teacher become tithers and involved in the theological ministry of the doctrine of finances. That's really sad, because the greatest blessing in my life, bar none, the greatest blessing in my life is to watch God bless my children for being correct in the theological ministry of finances in the kingdom of God. Who don't throw that which is holy to the dogs, and they don't cast their pearls before swine. They seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And I promise you, all these other things are daily added to those suckers. And that's one of my greatest blessings on this planet. I love Thanksgiving at my house. Whew. With the extended table of food. And sometimes I sit at the head of the table. But most of the time on Thanksgiving, I sit in the middle. And I put one of my sons or my daughter or my son-in-law or somebody else in my family at the head. But I look up and down that table and I see me and my wife, that's two. I see six of my children and their spouses, that's 12. And I see my grandchildren, that's 17. And I see my grandson's fiance, that's 18. A total of 31 people that I trained and I set the example for, that tithe belongs to the Lord, follow the entire theological doctrine of finances, and every single one of them who have funds of any kind are tithers and they're givers and they're in the house of the Lord every single Sunday of their life, following and practicing the basic foundation of Christian living and following wholly after him. That's my greatest treasure. Jesus, You woke me up at 3 a.m. to tell me all this? Thank you. So I'm going to wind it up. Say glory to God. And we're going to read about 12 more verses quickly. Because I'm going to put together some great scriptures for you in the end. I told Allison, I don't think I'm going to get to finish this sermon today. She said, you better finish it because you always save the best till last. Okay. It's Allison's fault. Here we go. What verse are we on? Chapter 7 and verse 12. These are scriptures you've heard all your life, and you've heard them taken out of context. They apply first to money. First. All these things, first of all, apply to money that I preach today. Then they can be taken and applied to other issues. But first of all, it's foundational. Hello, back there. Flip. You heard about the narrow gate? I'm here to tell you this subject's a narrow gate. Enter this narrow gate. For the gate's wide, and the way's easy that leads to destruction, that don't care about this subject. And those who enter by the gate, by it, the wide gate, are many. I deal with more people in the 60 years of ministry who don't get it than ones who do. Well, I thought everybody was a tither. I thought everybody... There's so many people that are so screwed up, they don't understand percentages. You don't get it. You're stipenders. You call yourself a tither, but you're not. You're a misuser of percentages. Let a man examine himself, then let him partake of the body and blood of Christ. Now, those who are in by the gate, keep going, please. I hope you got him up there. Yoo-hoo. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the ones who does the will of my Father who's in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Where's this scripture coming from? Chapter 6 and chapter 7 of Matthew. It's in the foundation doctrine of the Word of God. So everyone in who hears these words of mine, does them, will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat the house and did it not fall? Because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against the house. And it fell and great was the fall of it. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowd was astonished at his teaching. Ho, what's he talking about? Well, I told you what he's talking about. Go on. Oh, we're done? Goodbye. Put your shoes back on. I have good news for you. Chiefs game don't start till late today. The other good news is this. It only took me 53 minutes, 26.78 seconds to deliver unto you the greatest sermon you'll ever hear on planet Earth. Because if you don't get this one, you ain't going nowhere in the kingdom. I'd ask you to stand, but I don't know if you got any strength left. I don't. Next few weeks, I'm going to be preaching on the kingdom of God. I'm going to preach some stuff to you that'll change you forever on the kingdom. Brandon and I are going to both be preaching it. The cross. Can you put that back up again for me, please? Brandon said, the cross from the beginning, the first. The cross was a transaction that paid for sin. But when Jesus rose from the dead, he empowered all humanity to live a new life. When he sat at the right hand of the Father's throne, he was given authority over all things, and he sent the Holy Spirit that we could be empowered to live like him. That's what I want to do. I want to live like him. So bow your heads with me. Father, you said the word of God is quick, it's powerful, and it's sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing asunder the bones of the marrow. And it is a very discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And Lord, you went on to say the heart is deceitful and is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Lord, we want you to examine us. We want you to reveal through your word the path that you would have us to be on. And so I ask today that this holy word about the seeking first the kingdom of God will soak into our hearts and our lives. I pray, Lord, that we'll make gargantuan steps forward so we can win the world for Jesus Christ. So we can be more than just a missionary with a sounding brass and tinkling cymbals, but we'll have the power of God, which is able to change lives, able to set the captive free. God, put America back on its feet. It can straighten. Oh, Lord, just do it. Now today, Father, as we dismiss this service, I pray that you'll walk with us, talk with us. Father, let every heart be pleased by your word today. And any offense that someone might have to take, no, that's from Satan. That's not from God. Lord, make your word come alive in our life in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.